A65. Number 12B.
The next point, 3, is specific truth, and perhaps much more clearly brought out what is called in Christian Science divine mind reading. Again, you can see that is the Christ, namely, the Christ is what? To bring the whole to the specifics, to translate the whole to the specifics. Therefore, is that which brings out specific truth. So actually what it does is to take the one truth of divine science and says, now I take that one truth and translate it to the point of specific truth. So you get a very clear sense of translation, and you also get a very clear sense of the level of absolute Christian Science, because it is again the relationship of the one truth to the specific truth. And that is usually be brought out through the method of divine mind reading. Again, if you take the term divine mind reading and you say, well, what categories are implied behind this term, you can see, well, what do I do with divine mind reading? I read ideas. So with the divine mind, capitalized, I read ideas. You have at once the relationship, again, of principle to ideas. Here, the relationship of the divine mind to the revelation of ideas. And that is, can you see that that is absolute Christian Science? Always when you have the relationship and say, how are ideas brought about? How are they manifested? How are they reflected? And you say, well, they come from the divine principle. You have a relationship from principle to its expression, to its idea. And that is the problematics of absolute Christian Science. Here it is also the Christ, because it brings out the specific truth, the saving truth. Through divine mind reading, we really should be able to pinpoint those ideas, those specific ideas, which are the fact about a specific error. That's divine mind reading. So you can see that it is a Christ. If you go to the next one, to Christianity, the accent shifts to the idea. Principle, arrow, idea. So now we consider principle, arrow, idea as a whole with the accent on idea, on the outcome of the divine principle. Therefore, here I have written each idea. Can you hear the accent is on idea? Each idea reflects life, truth, and love. Reflects what? Reflects the word. Reflects the principle. So, you have Christianity at the point of idea. The main point is idea now, not principle, life, truth, and love. And reflects, that's also Christianity. Christianity is always at the point of reflection, not of the origin. Is that clear, by the way? I think that should be clear. Because the reflection is not the original. So the original is the word, the principle, that reflects itself in the ideas. And so you have both. You have the Christianity brought out through ideas reflecting what? And they reflect what? And you relate it back to its origin, to its principle, which is life, truth, and love, which gives you the tonality of absolute Christian Science. Can you follow easily? Or, yes? So, just with examples and example and example and example, I think we should be able to catch more and more the category. Or, not only does every idea reflect life, truth, and love, but also everything is at the point of demonstration of life, truth, and love. So again, demonstration is always at the point of Christianity. We make a demonstration. It's the outcome of the Christ activity. And here, demonstration, therefore here, is the outcome at the point of Christianity. But it's the outcome of what? The outcome of Absolute Christian Science, the relationship that it is demonstrating the origin, namely life, truth, and love. Again, we can perhaps pinpoint Christianity as the compound idea man, or a compound idea. Mrs. Eddy calls the earth a compound idea. She calls man the compound idea. There is a slight difference between them, because man as the compound idea really includes within itself all the compound ideas. Man includes, so to say, the compound idea of other species, of the animals, of the world, of everything, because he has dominion over all. Through the days of creation, at the point of truth as truth, he is shown to have dominion over the lower ideas, but those lower ideas are not isolated ideas, they are also compound ideas, they are also reflecting each other idea. But man that encompasses the earth is really the compound idea, as if she would bring out that is the highest sense or the biggest compound of compounds. Why is this Christianity? That's very simple, because it's all about idea. The accent is on idea, about the compound of idea, and it is indicating Absolute Christian Science, because such a compound idea can only be brought forth from the point of view of principle and from no other point of view. Only principle brings out or reflects itself as a compound idea. Yes. Shall we go off to the last column? Science. Science has to do with the explanation of things, with the interpretation of things, here we have first, I called it the calculus of ideas, and thought accepts the divine infinite calculus. That's Mrs. Eddy's rendering. Now the calculus naturally is a scientific activity. A calculus has to do with science. It hasn't to do with Christianity, nor with the Christ, nor with the world. It is the ability to be able to understand the rules and laws for calculating ideas. So you have calculus of ideas as science, and at the same time on the level of Absolute Christian Science, because we couldn't have a calculus of ideas in divine science. See, in divine science you don't have to calculate again and again and again new ideas. They are all included already. So there, in divine science, there is no necessity for a calculus of ideas. We have interpretation. Again, this is a scientific term. Science interprets, principle interprets. It is always through science that we should interpret any situation, not through faith, not through individual inspiration, not through subjective attitudes and opinions and things like that. That's not scientific interpretation. So here, science interprets. Now, this is naturally only possible on the level of Absolute Christian Science, not on the level of divine science. Divine science does not need to interpret something, because it knows itself, it includes its own self-knowledge, and therefore needs no more interpretation. We also have here spiritual evidence, and I put it here. I have just taken from a whole list of ideas that really could be put into each box. I have just taken some very pregnant, can you say a pregnant idea, a very clear-cut idea, perhaps also ideas that apply to various fields of application. Here I wanted to take an idea that shows science, from the point of view of science, the proof of science. We always associate with a science that the science must be proved and can be proved, that it demands for proof, and that it can disprove an opposite view. But in absolute Christian science, the term proof is not really very indicative, because in an absolute sense we don't have to prove anything. Proving is usually saying, I prove it to an opposite attitude. We say, I'm going to prove it to you. Why do I have to say, I'm going to prove it to you? Because you say, I don't believe it. Or is that possible? So I have to enlighten somehow the ignorance, the unbelief that says it cannot be proved. So proof is actually something that is a term very much applied to the level of Christian science, where you have to prove your statement against an erroneous statement. But on the level of absolute Christian science, where everything just flows and flows nicely, I think there we could state evidence, spiritual evidence, instead of proof. Namely, it is a higher sense of proof. It is that consciousness where we are inwardly sure, where we feel inwardly the evidence of the principle, and not so much the proof. And therefore, I have put here spiritual evidence in order to bring out that in absolute Christian science, where we calculate from principle and calculate ideas, that we don't have to say, and this proves something, but what it does, it rouses up in consciousness an inner certainty, an inner evidence, a spiritual evidence that is more than just a proof or a counter-proof. We don't need really there a proof, because we are so sure about the truth of what we are contemplating that we are not even interested in the question of a proof. It is a spiritual, scientific, inner evidence. Yeah. Well, that gives us the tonality of absolute Christian science. If you flow through it again at home and just contemplate it, you can easily see that it has constantly to do with that flow from principle bringing out its idea. Whatever is contemplated. So you have first the accent on the word, which says there is a creative impulsion of principle going on that constantly has a spontaneous manifestation, a revelation sense, and therefore it is that which wants to translate that principle to the point of ideas. It is the translating sense. It wants to bring that principle to the specific manifestation. That's the arrow, that the Christ, the translating sense, in order to bring out Christianity, namely that there are ideas that are reflecting that principle, that are the demonstration of that principle, that are showing forth the compound idea of that one principle. And then finally, I want to say that then finally you sum it up, and say, I can understand that. I can see that I can now use that whole process of principle via the Christ to idea and can calculate with that. I can constantly flow with that relationship and therefore interpret everything and in this way find the inner spiritual evidence. Yes. Then we would come really to the level of Christian Science, but that we have done at large last year when we were taking the word Christ, Christianity and Science on the level of Christian Science. So I can leave that out and yet bring it in another way that perhaps is for us quite impressive, I would say, and instructive. Namely, I have also arranged these three ideas in each box as 1, 2, 3, always so that the same number flows in a logical way vertically. And we will quickly run through, we take the word and run through now vertically. What we have done now was horizontally. So we take the one in divine science, the one in absolute Christian science, and the one in Christian science, and do it as much as you can in a spiritual way, in an atmosphere way, in a tonality way. Again, we would see here the level, how they flow, and gives another exercise how we can acquaint ourselves spiritually much better with the levels. So if we are not too much concerned about the ideas but listen to the tonality, we can see first in the word, you see, how on the level of divine science we have the self-existent of being. And we go out that being is and that being exists. And this existence translates itself to the level of absolute Christian science by saying this isness of being, this self-existence of being has a constant creative impulsion. Out of that existence, that's the origin, is now flowing out constantly new ideas. So that self-existence becomes the creative ability, the creator, the creative impulsion. And what does it do when it touches on the level of Christian science, the level of the human? It begins to act as creative thinking. It makes us to be creative. So can you see how we would arrive actually at creative thinking? Not by saying I should be creative, but by going back to divine science and see the fundus, the origin really of creative thinking lies in the fact that being already is, and there is nothing new under the sun. All there is exists already and exists by itself. And only when I begin to see that, I feel that that existence in absolute Christian science has a creative impulsion, is a creative ability, is a creator, and brings forth within the human a creative way of thinking. Or you take number two, that infinite light of divine science says, I reveal myself. I'm revelation. I reveal myself. That light comes as new light. We could also have said there instead of revelation, let there be light, or the new light appears. That light translates itself and says, through the creative activity I can say, let there be light. And the moment we have that sense that let there be light on the level of Christian science, we see that light, we are led in that light, we are led out of darkness through that light, and that appears to us as ordered understanding. Because the ordered sequence of the 7 days of creation are actually that which leads us out of darkness through the impact of the light. So again, we have that wonderful sequence. Can you hear how through the levels really the flow comes in a natural way right down to the human? Or we have the infinite individuality of being, the one infinite individuality of being which exists and which through absolute Christian science in a spontaneous way always brings forth infinite individualities. That constantly at every moment, at every necessity, shows itself forth in another kind of individuality. And so we have the newness and the variety of individuality being brought out, which, when it touches the human level, says to the human level, you have to lay down your false individuality. You have to lay down your mortal sense of what you are. And therefore, laying down the mortal concept. And in the same way, we can go to the Christ, and you can flow through the Christ in order to get the big tone of what the Christ is, that Christ which is the divine manifestation of God that finally comes to the flesh to destroy incarnate error, so that whole translation from divine science to Christian science is a Christ activity. Which says what? If you take point one, that says that the Son of God says, I am the infinite self-expression of being. And that infinite self-expression of being says, I act as the self-realization of every idea. I make every idea real. I act as the self-realization of being and therefore comes to every situation as the Christ. And what it does is that it realizes itself on the level of Christian science, that it realizes itself or manifests itself, whatever you like, in spite of error, in spite of anything else. So you have in one go, you see, you have the three levels of the Christ. First, the Christ as the self-expression of being on the level of absolute Christian science as expressing every idea, every specific idea, making that specific idea real, and can only do it by touching error and making error to disappear. That's nearly the same flow and the same tone as the definition of the Christ in the glossary. Or we have the divine ideal as the Christ, and that divine ideal always translates at the point of absolute Christian science, that ideal, to the point of ideal ideas, of specific ideas in an ideal way. And in order to do that, naturally there must be, on the level of Christian science, a retranslation of mortal mind into the divine mind, or say a retranslation of illusions into ideas, or else the idea could not be properly self-realized. So, can you see how the translation takes place? We have an ideal. That ideal translates itself to the point of ideas, but to the point of ideas that each idea is ideal. And in order that each idea is ideal, everything has to be swept away or retranslated that does not correspond to that ideal, so that nothing unideal can remain. And in this way, it touches the human. Or you take the three. Here we have Christ truth. The way Mrs. Eddy puts it so often, that it is the Christ truth that is at work, in operation. And what does that Christ truth do when it translates itself to the absolute Christian Science level? That it brings out the specific truth. That truth now translates itself to specific truth, and by translating themselves to specific truth, it naturally has to uncover and annihilate, uncover the specific errors. And so you come to the three of uncovering of specific error. Yes. And in the same way, you can go through Christianity and through science. Just think it out. Just let the idea flow. I'm not going to do it. I leave it open. We have done it in the summer school in New York, 1973, which I mentioned before. But so the point that you can take notice is really this. Try to see how this idea flow down from divine science to absolute Christian science to Christian science. Just think it over and think it over and see what it means. Until finally you feel that you can get rid of these ideas again, because you got the tonality of the translation through the levels. So that if in our metaphysical work we are working and see that whole thing that we see, which is the world, has a Christ, and we see that it has a Christ, it has an operative sense, that we do not anymore need to go through those ideas and say, now, what is the Christ and how does the Christ translate itself? But that the mere tone of Christ is so big, has become so tangible on every level of science, that with one tonality, you just feel the whole Christ translating from divine science to absolute Christian science to Christian science. That therefore you don't have the feeling that you got stuck just with one aspect of the Christ, but that really Christ as a term means, as a super symbol, so to say, means the whole flow that we have here through the levels. Okay. This afternoon we'll take the synonymous terms in the chart.